And here we are. It's another Trust the Gut episode. Clem Luderduk on one end, Blaine Jungwirth on the other. Blaine, what's happening tonight? How you been? What's going on? What's new? What's not new? What's doing?
Nothing new, just watching the NBA, as usual.
Yeah, can't not watch the NBA. The Western Conference continues to be a pretty hot topic.
It's loaded.
Teams are still playing hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, when it hits the playoffs, it's going to be wide open. It's going to depend on matchups. Certain teams can beat certain teams, and certain teams can't beat certain teams.
Yeah,
Dallas will not be Golden State in the series. Like, there's no way. But Golden State can definitely lose to Memphis, and Dallas could beat Memphis in a series. So it's just like a weird, little thing they got going on. It's going to be tough to predict.
Yeah, I'd hate to be placing bets in Vegas because I don't know. I wouldn't know where to really go. I think I'd put some of my money on Memphis to start it off, but I don't know. I don't trust their offense in the playoffs. You know, as they get deeper into the playoffs, I don't trust their offense very much. They're missing they're missing that dynamic type of scorer. I mean, it's cool to ground and pound and grind out defensive wins and everything, but they're just missing that pop. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, we here at Trust the Gut, we've noticed that the NBA is slowly starting to wind down, and there will be some DFS playoff games that we'll probably do. We'll look into doing.
Do they do playoffs?
They do. Yeah, they did it for football, so I would assume that they'd probably do it for basketball as well. I don't know yet. This is legitimately my first time going through. I mean, I can't believe that I've been doing DFS since September of last year. I can't believe it's already been about, 8 or 9 months. It's crazy.
Yeah. You're pregnant with a DFS baby.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm just so happy. I'm coming to full term and all that stuff. But what we'll be doing is baseball started up. And Blaine and I have been talking, and we've been looking at roster construction for baseball and like just figuring and trying to find our way through it. And we've decided to do a weekly baseball podcast. It won't be totally situated on DFS. It'll be more of like season-long leagues, looking at streaming pitchers, matchups that we're interested in, and just, talking shop about baseball. So, we here at Trust the Gut would like to be a holistic sports experience and sports podcast, and we're looking forward to getting the MLB portion of the show started relatively soon. So keep your eyes out for that. But back to the lecture at hand, which would be DFS basketball. We have another splendid day and full matchup. Yes, what was that?
Thanks, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, well, hey, I gotta do what I gotta do. I read that big ghost face thing.
Wait, that's Snoop Dogg, right?
He's that is. Dr. Now back to the lecture at hand. Yeah. Perception is or something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I need to be drunk to
something
really
get
that.
Something I understand.
Right, yeah. back to the lecture at hand. We're talking about DFS basketball. A guy that we have really been talking up and enjoying is really helping to boost one of our cards tonight, CJ McCollum. Guy just won't quit. I hope he doesn't quit. This is amazing.
That would be really sad if he just quit.
I mean, have you seen? Can you think of another player that's turned it on this late in the season after looking so
below average,
blasé? Yeah, legitimately, why is he getting minutes? There was a stretch where he would get minutes, and you just like, why? And you're like, well, because I don't want to see Steve Blake. But like, who have you seen? Can you think of a player that has turned it around so quickly?
Blossomed?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of say Biombo, but he's not really doing anything other than what he does. If you know what I mean, like he just rebounds and gets putbacks and block shots, which is like what he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
But he's looked great with minutes. I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head.
Yeah,
there's probably like some garbage like Lakers player or something, not Clarkson, but somebody else.
Yeah, that Tarek Black maybe. We've kind of been talking about that.
I know
guy.
You did been talking a lot of shit about Tariq Black, and now he's actually turned into like a decent player.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. A lot of that shit was the fact that he just couldn't defend, and now he's stopped fouling. So I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with being able to stay on the court more and produce. So, I mean, I didn't mention Tariq Black. Anybody, like, don't quote me on that. But he's looked a little bit better, and he's been playing a little bit better too. So, yeah, I think that's going to be something that we'll want to keep an eye on and look into more deeply, because I can't think off the top of my head of someone that has just legitimately looked night and day like a different player in the span of, what, 2.5, 3 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, the only comparison really is Kawhi, and it just completely turned it on, and he's now becoming, like, he's looked like a top five player in the NBA over the last probably 10 days.
Yeah,
and he was nothing like that earlier in this season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was spurred by, pun intended, spurred by the fact that he was the Finals MVP, and he just looked unbelievable against Miami. So I think that had a little bit to do with it. So I think the confidence is coming on at the right time, and just don't use up all your shots now, CJ. Save some for the next couple of weeks, please. But going on from that, we had a pretty successful night on Tuesday. Probably a bigger night than the one that we had where Trey Burke cost us probably like $1,000 almost. And a lot of that came from the fact that we tightened up our core and we stuck with just like maybe what, 3 to 4 games at the most. And
yeah, I think our biggest lineup, I'll have to look again.
Yeah, our biggest lineup included almost everybody, every key player from the Kings and Timberwolves game, plus Anthony Davis or something like that. That was one of them. And then another lineup was very much the same, but with Blake Griffin. And that's the one that won us $100. Blake Griffin, the Lakers making that game competitive in the last 2.5 minutes. In the fourth quarter, my bad. In the fourth quarter. Them making that game competitive made Doc Rivers be like, oh, man, I got to put these guys back in. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be a good idea. And, you know, Blake goes ahead, scores about 4 or 5 points, something like that. We vault from making $60 to $100. And then basically placing in everything else. It was a phenomenal day. I think we took back like $180-something out of $33 that we put in. So
yeah, I told you the night before that the mini Sacramento game was gold because there was going to be absolutely no defense played and all the star players were out.
Yeah,
so there's just going to be tons of value and you can just pick your stars around that. So we did Kmart, Rudy Gay, Zach LaVine, Reggie Evans, and then we just kind of sniped big time players from other teams, so like Tyreke Evans, Blake Griffin.
Yep.
Biombo actually was our biggest. Biombo, I think, was he a core play? Was he a 7? Was he in 7 of our?
He was in 7 out of the 10. He was definitely a core play, and he did his job. I mean,
yeah, he hit 9 times, I think, or 8 times.
Yeah, so and it was totally worth it. And we just kind of we carried that into yesterday. Not so much. Had one that cashed, but it looked good. It feels good when those kind of things happen. So. As long as we continue to cash at least once or twice a night, we've felt really confident in our process, and you know, we were really close.
I think 19 points off.
I think it came down to who was it?
Horford.
Al Horford. Yeah, anybody for Al Horford, basically.
Yep.
So that's that. But talking about games that are coming up now, and again about the value. That Kings team is looking like another place to go. Omri Caspi. Anybody for if we just played Omri Caspi, actually, that would have really we would have won it, but we didn't. And
but why would you play Omri Caspi?
Exactly. That's more or less how it comes down. It's like, oh, we should play Omri Caspi. Like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, it's like fuck that guy. But going to the games for tomorrow, it's already been stated. By George Karl and on Basketball Monster that DeMarcus Cousins will not play. And who are the Kings playing tomorrow? It was
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Excuse me.
Where do you go in that game?
Where do you, cause, well, it's pretty hard to take any Thunder except for maybe like McGarry.
Right.
Because they're you figure they're gonna blow. They should beat the crap out of Sacramento without Cousins. Right. Have they said if Rudy Gay's out?
Rudy Gay is questionable with the headaches and the concussion. He's been upgraded to questionable. I don't know if he plays. Like, what's the point in him playing? Like,
if he plays, though, his splits when they don't have Cousins are pretty ridiculous.
Well,
if he plays, you gotta give him a look.
No, I think he's under 8. Let me check to make sure. He's definitely under 8.
75.
Yeah, you gotta play him if he's. Because who on the Thunder is going to guard him? Russell Westbrook can only guard so many people.
Yep.
And Russell, I mean, he wouldn't really be guarding threes anyway. But, I mean, there's nobody on that Thunder team that scares me defensively. Legitimately no one.
No, especially on the wing.
Yeah. What in that case, then, with no Boogie, potential blowout, would you play Enes Kanter? Would you take a whiff of Enes tomorrow?
I would pass on Enes.
I mean, why would you have any skin in this game? Because it looks like it might be the game that has the highest over under on the night.
Yeah, because he's expensive as shit. That's why I wouldn't play him. There's way more value in center than to be playing Enes Kanter.
Yeah. Well, okay then. So much value at center. Where do you look first? Where do your eyes shine? Who are you comparing to a summer's day?
Vucevic against Toronto.
Ooh.
The one I'm looking at.
Ooh. He's still under 8, isn't he? That's silly. And he's been killing it. Yeah, Vuce might be one of those guys that's in 7 out of 10 lineups. Correct?
Yeah. Well, I would say 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10?
Yeah.
Justin Hamilton
against the Lakers. Now, look, Justin Hamilton, I mean, I don't know how people in Minnesota feel about him. He's a good DFS play.
Mm.
He's perpetually in like that $4,000 range.
Right.
And he has all the minutes he could ever want. And he generally produces, except for when Flip Saunders randomly benches him in the fourth quarter for...
What's that guy's name?
Is it Jeff Adrian?
No, he benched him for Onuwaku. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was predicated on matchup and going small to match the Kings.
I disagree with that decision. That one actually cost us quite a bit more money.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was also offense. They gave up like 7 or 8 offensive rebounds in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I
wonder why.
I don't. Well, you know, I'm not a scientist or person that watches a ton of basketball, but I would assume not having a 7-footer in there that can knock a guy like Omri Caspi, who's pesky, knock a guy like Rudy Gay off the boards, had a little bit of something to do with it. Not saying entirely, but it probably had a little bit to do with it.
Possibly.
I mean. I'd put it.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
No. I don't need to buy myself a jump to conclusions, Matt. Basically, is what I'm saying. I don't need that. I don't need that at all. Well, I guess if we're talking plays and where value is, I think point guard again is probably one of the deeper positions of the night.
Again. Yeah.
And it seems that point guard. I was reading something earlier while I was doing DFS in like. I think January, and they were talking about how to build an optimal lineup on DK, on DraftKings. And they were focusing on, like, get the centers and get the power forwards and then just find value at point guard. And that seems to have held up relatively well over the entire course of my short DFS career. And if I'm looking at point guard tomorrow, I'm looking squarely at my boy, Elfrid Payton, against an awful, awful Toronto backcourt. And if Kyle Lowry doesn't play, which it looks like he might not play again for like the 17th game in a row, it feels like.
Yeah.
Elfie goes crazy. Like, I think Elfie, he flirts with triple-doubles more than Tiger Woods flirts with Jocelyn James. Like, I mean, he would be a play, and I think he's under 8K. I would start there. I think he busts out in a big way tomorrow against Toronto. So, Elfrid Payton, bust out play of the day. Go get him. 7-5. Have fun. That's all I'm going to say. If you go with Elfrid Payton, have fun. So, those are my 2 cents right there. Wow, and hey, we are rocketing up in this thing. We have one that's top 1500 right now, and a lot of that is on the backs of Draymond Green and a little bit of Steph Curry. So
yeah, unfortunately for Blazers.
Yeah, and it looks like Nick Batum is awakening a little bit. I didn't mention this before we got on. I said if we can get to at least 225, 230 on most of these cards, we should cash. And it looks like we should be able to do that in at least 3 or 4 out of the 7 that we made. So
yeah, we'll be fine.
That's pretty good.
And this one's going to keep going too, because we have McCollum, Iguodala, Aldridge, Curry, Green, and Batum all still going.
Yeah.
And we're 39.25 back at the lead. So yeah. Overtime.
Hey, hashtag overtime. Hashtag overtime. What? But yeah, so back to rosters for tomorrow, or plays for tomorrow. Detroit, did you watch or did you follow most of the game that they played with Greg Monroe back?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went fine. It went fine. I think Drummond got in early foul trouble, which is why he had like no points at all.
Oh.
And then in the fourth quarter, I think he had like 14 points and 8 rebounds or something. No, he had a double double in the fourth quarter alone.
Damn,
and then
really?
He ended up hitting close to value. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he was just destroying in the fourth quarter.
That guy's a monster.
Yep.
Just an absolute monster. Do you look at the front court of Boston of Detroit tomorrow against Indiana? Detroit's out of it. They'll be playing everybody full complement of minutes. But do you play them against like guys like Roy Hibbert, David West, or do you focus on the fact that Detroit's front court is abysmal and try and take advantage there?
I think I do that. I think I look at Hibbert, David West. I think Hibbert had a good game against Detroit last time, so he would be the first guy I start with. Like I said, there's tons of value plays at center, but he looks, I think he's only like 4,800 or something.
He's 49, and he's coming off kind of a putrid game against Charlotte, a dud against Miami, but he looked really strong in a double-double against the Knicks. So,
yeah,
and they really need Roy Hibbert. We talked last Saturday about Roy Hibbert and what's wrong with him or his game or where he's at. But I think with the team in the playoff hunt still, like they always have been, with I think George coming back, that opens up a lot. I think he's got his confidence back if Paul George is playing, because I don't think he has to feel like he needs to be the best player on the court every single time or something like that. I don't know. He's been an odd player this year. I think I'd look at David West, though, mostly because he's got that uncanny ability to pick up some assists. I mean, he averages over 3 a game, which is pretty rare for a power forward with his kind of skill set. So I think I'd start with David West before I looked at Roy Hibbert tomorrow. But that's just me. That's just me. I don't even know what other games are there going on. Let's see here. Phoenix is playing New Orleans.
That should be a good game for Anthony Davis, Tyreek Evans.
Mm.
Is that
a game that you look at to play a lot? Phoenix has been looking pretty bad overall.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, does Phoenix keep it competitive enough to make it worth paying up for Anthony Davis and Tyreek Evans? Not that Tyreek Evans is, I don't think he's terribly expensive. I don't know if he's over 8 again. Let's take a look. He's at 7-7. So, I mean, like, just about 200 more than Elfrid Payton in a game that should be relatively more competitive. Is Tyreek Evans worth a play tomorrow?
I think so. Phoenix's defense against point guards is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have an issue with that. He I think Phoenix will keep it close enough. I don't think New Orleans is good enough to just completely blow them out. Let's see. If Phoenix has some pretty... I think one of the Morris twins. I think Marcus Morris should have a decent game tomorrow. TJ Warren actually got some minutes last game, and he should be fine if you need like a really big punt play at small forward. The other interesting one is Gerald Green, who like randomly had like 30 points the other day.
Wait,
out of nowhere.
What? Gerald Green is still getting minutes? That's amazing. Yeah, like, I can't believe though.
He hasn't been getting minutes, and then randomly, who was that against? It was Dallas. He like just randomly had 30 points in 30 minutes.
Wow, Dallas. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
and that game was relatively high scoring and pretty awesome. Look at he's got a weird box score the last five: 30 against Dallas, 15 against Atlanta, 24 against Utah, 7 against Golden State, 13 against Portland, 12 against Portland, and then 4, 6, 5, and 2. He's had a weird last 2.5 weeks, or last 2 weeks or something like that. It's impressive. I don't know. I feel like they're just not giving him minutes because is he on a 1 year salary there or did he have a multi? He had a multi-year extension there, didn't he?
Yeah, no. He just has been so terrible that they haven't had a reason to play him. I mean, that's really what the thing is. He's been so bad. But I guess Hornacek will just kind of give him minutes, and then if he gets hot, they'll ride him. But
rides him out.
It's just a weird dynamic. I don't have any interest in Gerald Green tomorrow. But you never know.
He's a spec play. He'd be interesting. Yeah,
the thing is he's totally boom bust, and if he's not hitting shots, then he's gonna bust.
Yeah. Washington, Brooklyn. John Wall may play. I think he's listed as probable now. Yeah, so he's probably going to play. Do you keep riding? Because we've been riding Darren Williams, and we've been riding Brolo, and we've sprinkled in a little bit of Thad Young. Is this a game where you look back at Darren Williams against John Wall or Brolo against Marchand Gortat?
I don't know if the pace will be there.
You think that one's going to be a grinded out game? So like what's the pace factor on that game for you?
The Nets have been they've been playing in like up tempo games. They've had some high scoring games, but I don't know if Washington will play at that speed. They might try to slow it down. Let's see what the total's at for tomorrow.
Dang, that card we have with McCollum and Iggy still playing, and LaMarcus playing, Steph playing, Draymond Green and Nick playing. 684th.
Yeah, it's moving up.
And rising.
Need the Blazers to keep it close, just and then either win in regulation or just go take it to overtime.
Yeah, that'll be great. That's all that needs to happen right now. I mean, Steph Curry getting to a double-double would be fantastic. Also, I like how, this kind of turned into a little bit of a sweat. I don't know how much money we'll make off of this one, but it's kind of nice to see the card rise after it just looks like it was dead in the water for most of the evening.
Batum getting a double double would be huge. He just needs a three to do it.
Yeah, that would be pretty big.
I don't know if I'm in love with any of the players. I think everybody in that game is kind of just getting to the point where they're too expensive. You can look if Allen Anderson's out again. You could look at Bogdanovich. He's had some pretty nice games.
He was one of your calls, your calls to the bullpen. What was it, Tuesday? No, yesterday. What plays into your Bogdanovich enjoyment? Is it because of Allen Anderson being out? Does he have a skill set that you like? What's there?
He scores the ball, and he's cheap, and Allen Anderson's out, so he's going to get minutes. And then Markel Brown, I know I talked about him last week, but he hasn't been that good lately. And so I just kind of, if he has been good, then they'll go to Bogdanovich. I know he had like 12 points in a row against the Blazers scrubs on Tuesday, or that was Monday, sorry.
Yeah, okay, I could see that. Hey, Damian Lillard with an assist. We're climbing. Top 600
McCollum,
now.
McCollum, I think, hit that layup.
Sweet. There you go. Hey, tandem. They're working in tandem. I like that. Oh, yep. We're under 500 now.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Come on, Damian.
No, don't do that.
Come on, Damian. Stephanie shooting a three is so stupid.
Oh, Nick just got a block. They gave him a block. That's awesome. I like this stuff. DFS is fun, people. You got to get into this stuff. It's amazing. I didn't realize that Darren Williams is up to 7K now. I think what was he at on? When did we play him last? We played him on it was yesterday, wasn't it? He was like 6. He was. No, 68. Wow. I guess I don't really pay attention to the numbers that much because we've just been using that spreadsheet, and if it fits, it fits. And I'm like, oh, I like that. I like that play, and it fits with what we've got going on. It like ups the ceiling we have. So I guess working off that spreadsheet's made building the lineup on the website kind of redundant or just not feel as natural as it used to be. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
The only
sense,
thing I really use the website for is just kind of quickly glance over how the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then the splits for the how they've done against that team before, but it's only like just a quick glance.
Yeah,
I don't spend much time on the website.
I've been using StatMuse. By the way, if you listen to the podcast and you don't use StatMuse, or you haven't heard of StatMuse? StatMuse is amazing. It's this nice kind of, would you call it a Boolean search engine type thing for basketball stats only?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, you just type in a thing saying like Evan Turner versus Detroit Pistons 2015, and it shows you you can add like per game, and it shows you every single game he's played against Detroit for 2014, 2015. And like the points he scored, the minutes he played, all this stuff, and it's amazing. And it makes utilizing a website like FanDuel or DraftKings kind of silly, because you don't need to go to that website to check up like the last 5 games. You can do it right on StatMuse. So if you're interested in getting StatMuse, all you do is you go to www.statmuse.com and ask for the beta key. And they'll send you the beta key in like a week or so. And from there, you can just enjoy all the stats that you want. So, www.statmuse.com. Probably going to talk to them about a sponsorship, just because. Why not? Shameless plugs. So, going from there. I think the good thing about this slate is that there are a couple games that are interesting. Like that Toronto-Orlando game is really interesting. The Phoenix throwing game is pretty interesting. Minnesota Lakers game is pretty interesting. Dallas and Denver can kind of get up for. Sacramento, Oklahoma City, I can kind of get up for. San Antonio, Houston, that's a pretty big game for the Southwest Division. That one's, I think, that one's probably the most interesting reality based game. So the good thing is that on a 13-game slate, I think this is 13 games, there are at least half of the games that I think we should be in, or you as a listener and DFS player should be in. How would you rank it? How would you rank those games if you were to like pick a couple to be in and be on for tomorrow?
Yeah. From a pure NBA interest, late, like there's only that San Antonio team is really the only really good matchup, but from a DFS perspective, I mean, there's lots of freaking good value games that if you're saying a Toronto Orlando game, that should be a good one from just a value perspective. San Antonio Houston even will probably be good from value because you have like Aaron Payne starting a center probably. Dallas Denver will be interesting. I don't know what if Denver's going to show up or not.
Ty Lawson, do you play him under 7K against Dallas?
I don't know if you can trust him.
Gut feeling.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's kind of weird to be this late in the season with, you know, about 3 or 4 games left per team and just be like, nah, I don't trust that guy. I mean, I would. I mean, Kenneth Faried. Do you trust Kenneth Faried tomorrow against Dallas? Do you trust Dirk Nowitzki against Dallas? Like, Dirk is under 6K. Do you think about playing Dirk? Does Dirk get rested? This is where it's getting really interesting on how you build your lineups and who you go to and who you call. Right?
Damian just had a nasty ass dunk.
Did he? How's it? Oh, wow. Well, and then he turns the ball over.
No, I don't know where that, you're like way behind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well. Those Golden State Warriors, what are you, where are you prognosticating? What are they doing in this postseason?
Did they call traveling on that or something?
They might have.
Oh, that sucks.
Ugh. Where do you see the Warriors going? How far do they go this postseason?
Why can't they win the title realistically?
I don't know. I don't know why they can't. Who gets in their way?
Yeah, I mean, San Antonio. Memphis would be interesting, but Golden State just beat Memphis at Memphis pretty easily.
And a couple games ago. And like we mentioned, Memphis doesn't really have they don't really have the offense to keep up with a team like Golden State in the playoffs, I don't think. Yeah. Sure, the game slows down, but they've got the most efficient player in the game. Well, I shouldn't say most efficient. He's one of the most efficient in the game in Steph Curry.
I think he is towards a high volume, guys.
Yeah.
Harden
gets to the free throw line a ton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would trade free throws for those, like, contested threes that Curry throws up sometimes.
Curry, I think you could argue, is the most entertaining player right now in the league.
Man, that broken ankles play he had on Chris Paul. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That one's just going to be etched in my mind until the day I die, or the day I stop watching basketball. Like, that was so awesome. And the fact that he made the shot afterwards, incredible. That's like, him doing that is like, you're at a really crowded bar and you're playing pool, and you've got a shot. You got to make a bank shot to win the game on the eight ball. And you're like, oh, sorry, dude, you got to move. I need my space. And then you do it, and you make the shot. And everybody's like, oh, my God. And you're like, yeah, had that guy not moved, I wouldn't have made that shot. Except when you miss it, you feel like a jerk because, you know.
You made the move and you missed, yeah.
Yeah, I did that at a birthday party over the weekend, and I was like, yeah, that was pretty awesome that I missed that shot. He goes, yeah, I really shouldn't have even moved, I guess. I was like, yeah, well, you can be an asshole too, but that's all good. You know, stuff like that. Man, I don't even know how to go. I really don't know how to go about building tomorrow's rosters. I think we've been using that spreadsheet so much. It's so, like, I look at the website and I'm just kind of like, I don't like it. It's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think I'd play Brow. I'd play Brow a couple times, like maybe once or twice, and then I'd look also into Brandon Wright because Alex Len hasn't played in a while. And Brandon Wright's a pretty efficient player. All you really want from him is a double-double. And if he can get
that Lakers-Minnesota game should be plenty good for value.
Yeah, and the great thing about that is that it's the last game of the night.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Martin, again, I think you got to ride him again.
Oh, you got to ride Kevin Martin. Like, who don't you play from Minnesota? I mean, you probably don't play Lorenzo Brown. You probably don't play, let's see here. You don't play Lorenzo Brown, you don't play,
I guess Wiggins, maybe. He might be a little too expensive.
6'8", yeah.
Payne is like, I don't know what the hell Adrian Payne is doing, so maybe you don't play Adrian Payne.
Do you look at Zach LaVine? Zach LaVine had a pretty good game against the Lakers the last time.
Both point guards, really. Both starters. I mean, Clarkson and LaVine.
Like, how about doing what we did on Wednesday, where you just kind of pick and choose Timberwolves and say, Hey, Anthony Davis, you're on the team too.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that one.
I mean, I think tomorrow is. I know that we probably sound a little apathetic and blasé and ambivalent towards these games and the choices for tomorrow, but I'm pretty excited about where to look and where to go. Because this late in the season, like, a lot of the top teams aren't going to play their guys, and I don't trust anybody off the bench from Memphis. I don't really trust anybody off the bench in Dallas. I don't know what I'm going to get from them.
Maybe Aminu.
Yeah, but that's about it. I mean,
and even that is kind of a stretch for trust.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do what you want out of a DFS player. He'll play high minutes, and he may have a pretty good fantasy points per minute stat line, but I don't know. He doesn't have the usage that you're looking for. He's not touching the ball all the time. If this was like when he was playing at Wake Forest, oh, then I'd be all over Al-Farouq Aminu. But this isn't, and it's not, and I just don't trust it. Do you want to do a couple of bust stouts?
Sure.
And then just talk maybe a couple minutes about baseball for a second, like what we've been doing there or how we've been feeling about it.
Let's shelve that until we start.
Okay. Okay. Right,
I gotta go to bed.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 That happens. So let's do three quick bust outs, and we'll go from there. So all right. Do you want to go first or?
Yeah, I will go with Zach LaVine, at Los Angeles. Has he played a game in LA? I think he has.
I think he has. Yeah, isn't he from? Yeah. He's from LA, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's.
So I was wondering, but he has actually looked not terrible the last 10 games or so. He's looked more comfortable. He takes a lot of shots.
Yeah, that's what you want. Just, that's what you want.
He plays so many damn minutes that he just racks up a ton of counting stats. And yeah, I mean, the Lakers are pretty atrocious against point guards. So he's only, I think, 5,800 or something. So you gotta, I think most lineups for me start with him.
Mm.
Which is kind of scary, like trusting Zach LaVine, but yeah,
he's gonna get 40 minutes. I mean, they've got nobody in Minnesota, so I could get behind that. I can definitely get behind that. I think a bust out play for me will be someone from the Sacramento Kings. Someone from the Sacramento. I think Ben McLemore goes off tomorrow. This is just a total hunch.
Yeah, I like that.
Total hunch and total gut feeling. He's going to need to shoot. He's going to need to do something. And I'd much rather see him get the shine than a guy like Caspi and Derek Williams. So without Boogie playing tomorrow, Ben McLemore is probably going to be leaned on. And if it's a blowout, he still plays relatively heavy minutes because they don't really have anybody at the on the wing. So at 4-2, Ben McLemore is looking like a really nice piece to a lineup. And really all you want to get out of him is potentially 25 points. If you can get you 25 points, you're looking really nice. That's over 6x value, and you could do a lot worse, I think, than Ben McLemore tomorrow. So, bust out play, Ben McLemore.
All right, he takes a lot of shots without Cousins, which is a good thing. His production was capped because he got in foul trouble their last game, but he's been looking pretty good as a player the last, really since the All-Star break, since George Karl got hired.
Yeah, yeah, and that's good. And I'm hoping under a full year of George Karl, Ben McLemore realizes the potential that he's had since Kansas. So,
bust out. That'd be nice.
Bust out.
All right. I will take for a let's go with a bust.
Mm.
And let's go.
Throw that shade.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling it. Let's go with Rudy Gobert against Marc Gasol and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Now, I'm gonna just remind you. The last time I said he was gonna bust against the Grizzlies, he goes off for like 20 something rebounds and actually plays pretty damn well. I'm just mentioning that. That's
yep. No.
But
it's not happening.
Not happening this time.
I will make sure of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey. You're the prognostication king. I understand. I get that. That's totally fine. So he's just not, he won't be worth price of admission tomorrow.
No, not at 8,000. Like I said, center has tons of value in the mid price range, and then up to like Vucevic, and that you don't need to look at Rudy Gobert or even Marcus Gasol really tomorrow.
Wow. They nullify each other. Okay, I can get down with that. A player that busts tomorrow. He doesn't bust out. He busts. Reggie Jackson. I think Reggie Jackson has a hellacious time against George Hill and the Indiana Pacers. I know he's coming off of a pretty huge game, and that's an understatement, of 21-15 against Boston. I don't think he comes anywhere close to making that happen again. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that he's had a lot of turnovers the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. I think he's been averaging over like 5 or 6 turnovers a game. It's kind of ridiculous. The last 3 games, he's had 7, 7, and 8. So obviously he's been, over the last 10 days, 5.4 turnovers. That's
not good.
That's not good. He's been getting double-double. But I think with Greg Monroe back, Greg Monroe's going to take some touches, some usage. Reggie Jackson's probably going to take a tiny bit of a step back. I don't know if I want to pay 8.5. Holy shit. I don't want to pay 8.5 for Reggie Jackson tomorrow if I can spend 20, 2.6 less and get Zach LaVine 18 times. Value is all at point guard tomorrow. Don't pay up unless you really feel confident in a player. So, Reggie Jackson, he busts tomorrow.
All right. Is this our third one?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. My last one is going to be a bust out, and I'm going to take Tobias Harris tomorrow.
Ooh,
against Toronto.
That's a good one.
He had 2 huge games in a row against Minnesota and Milwaukee, and then he kind of just could not make a shot against Chicago.
He had a dud. Put up 12. He had such a dud of a game.
So I'm going to get right back on the Tobias train. Toronto does not defend small forwards very well.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a pretty high scoring game. He should be able, even at 6,600, I think he's capable of getting over 50 fantasy points.
Finally, I'm going to go with the bust out play, and it's not good because it's so easy, but it's good because at the way he's been playing the last week and a half, 2 weeks, it's almost a no-brainer that you have to try and squeeze him into a lineup. And that's Kawhi Leonard. He's given you more or less, without like the rebounding and assist numbers, he's given you like LeBron James type effort on the court every single game. And in the DFS scoring abilities, I mean, the dude gets at least 1 steal a game. That's 2 points right there. You can already count on him to give you 2 points for the ball's even tipped. So, and he just had a phenomenal game against the Rockets. I don't see why he doesn't do it again in an 8K, Kawhi Leonard. He'd be in about 40% of my lineups if I'm making him tomorrow. So, Kawhi Leonard is my final bust-out play of the day for Friday's DFS games. So, yeah, that's that. How did we end up turning out tonight?
We made money.
That's good. Yeah, hey.
Yeah, we made $3. Hey, we'll take it.
Hey, as long as you're putting it, you're taking out what a little bit more than you put in. That's good. I'm glad that the CJ McCollum led card that did us the most. Yeah, it was. Yeah, look at that. CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum. James Enos. If Andre Iguodala just did something.
Yep.
I mean, we were able to score. Wow, look at that. 280.
Oh, Aaron Aflalo got hurt too. It was like his shoulder.
Oh, great.
No, running into a pick. That's pretty great.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we. But yeah, Andre Iguodala does something. This card makes a little bit more money.
Yeah, Nick Batum hits another three to give him a double-double. That would have helped.
Yeah.
But hey, overtime would have been fantastic.
But hey, we're not going to complain. We're just going to say, hey, we had a good day today. So
yeah.
For sure. That's about it that we've got for today's show. Be on the lookout for DFS baseball. Potentially, I don't know if we're going to be able to start it as soon as possible, but I'll let you know. We'll find ways to let you know.
Can I just give a special shout-out real quick?
Yes.
To Derek Williams, who, after his coach compared him to a Coke machine because he wasn't rebounding, came back the next game and had 8 rebounds, and then the next game had 5 rebounds, and now has put up almost 10 times value his last 2 games in a row.
Yeah, hey.
I hope that Derek Williams becomes at least a borderline all-star, so we can all remember that the only reason why he became this good of a player was because his coach compared him to a vending machine.
Yeah. Yeah. And wasn't the joke...
Come on, dude. Come on.
Wasn't the joke that we had... Because we played Sim Bular against the Timberwolves just because we were like, oh, Boogie's not playing. That was me. I'll take that one. I was like, yeah, he'd be a good play. Didn't do anything, and I was like, yeah, a Coke machine.
I think you were just confused that we didn't get extra bonus points for having the first person from India ever to play in the NBA on our team.
Hey, I thought that was a thing. I thought they had that as a stat category.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna give out like 15 extra bonus points.
I mean, hey, you do what you got to do, and that was one of those things. I thought it was gonna be a good play.
I had no idea that they weren't going to play him at all.
I thought he was going to get at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's Sim Bular. You got to just put him on the court for a second.
Hey, you got to see what that guy's got. I mean, you don't just sign him for nothing, right? I mean, come on. It's like the Blazers signing Tim Frazier and saying it's okay, we're still going to give minutes to Steve Blake. So. That's another time. So for myself, Clem Duduk, up here in Portland, and for Blaine down in Dallas, we'll catch you next week, or maybe even a little bit sooner when we get this whole baseball thing situated. So
yes, sir.
Keep on keeping on, and remember to always trust your gut. Catch you next week, everybody.
See ya.